afternoon, Truth Wins team. Oh, it's good to be with you. Oh, and we know you're going to do it.
Yes, do it.
Do it. So before we do it, we're going to start off in prayer.
Dear Holy Father, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor in everything we do. We thank you, Father, for this production today. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give us so that we're able to tell the people the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And we know the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will direct our path. We ask this now in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen.
Amen. So where we're starting off, we're in Matthew 17. At the beginning of Matthew 17, Jesus goes up the hill with three disciples to the Mount of Transfiguration. And God speaks and says, "This is my son who he's pleased with." And he also gives instructions to the three disciples there to listen to what Jesus said. And that instruction is to all of us. The Bible, at least the New Testament, is what Jesus said. Some of the Old Testament is prophetic of what Jesus will say and do as well. But we're supposed to hear it. And then what are we supposed to do?
Do it.
Do it. And we're not supposed to be distracted by other things. So we'll go off and see what happened to the disciples. We'll see what they're up to.
It says here in Matthew 17, 14 through 21 in the New King James Version, and the title is, "A Boy is Healed." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation," which comes to mean stubborn in adherence to wrong opinion or principles, "how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear or endure with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked to say something as advice or a warning to the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer earnestly, to ask humbly and earnestly of, to supplicate," and he said, "fasting."
Right, so here we see his disciples who have seen many miracles, have seen Jesus like calm the storm, feed the 5,000. They've seen a lot of things happen, but he's saying they're perverse. And to be perverse means they're thinking something incorrectly.
Their paradigm is incorrect.
Right. As we know, when we're born, our brain is like a blank computer, and then our experiences get recorded, and our brain doesn't really determine. Well, if we think on it, we can determine if it's truth, but the brain just records what it sees, and then that becomes our reality. So here we're seeing, for some reason, there was unbelief in the disciples, because Jesus couldn't be wrong. And should we ever not believe what Jesus has taught us?
Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it.
Right, and so that's what we're trying to teach you about, do it. If it says it in the Bible, do it. Then we don't have to go, wonder if that'll happen. Maybe it could or could not. He's saying, how long am I going to be with you? In a sense, he is with us. He's in the Word telling us today, do it.
And in John, it says he is the Word.
Right. So let's see what he has to say in Isaiah. Let's see what Isaiah has to tell. Right. So what we do is we go spend time praying. We let the Holy Spirit speak to us. And we think over the teachings that Jesus has given us or had given them. And they realize, yes. And how did Jesus get rid of the demon?
He spoke it.
He spoke. He commanded it.
He commanded the truth. Set him free. Right. And Jesus is the truth because he has the word in him. He is the word. And he spoke the word in faith, and it came out immediately. It right. has to. There is no, you know, if or but or any to the demon. The demon had to do it because that's the law of God.
Right. So we have now, we know we have the authority to do it. So we have to speak. If we encounter someone with a demon, we say, come out in the name of Jesus. And it has to come out. So let's see what other events happened with the disciples.
This is in Mark 5, 36 through 40 in the New King James Version. Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. And when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was laying. And he took the child by the hand, and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years old of age, and they were overcome with great amazement.
Right, so we can learn quite a few things. So that's what we're trying to teach you. When you go to do it, you need to know what Jesus did because we're imitators of Jesus and do the same thing. Did he do a long and intricate prayer?
No, he commanded it.
Just said, arise.
Go, oh, Father.
We're worried she might be dead.
Wake this little lady up.
And she might be dead, and we're worried she's
dead.
He didn't wail like the people outside wailed.
Right,
he didn't cry.
They were rebuking him.
Right.
It was like, wow.
But the point to have is when you get your doctor's report or you get whatever, you have to speak to it and say go. You can't be in unbelief. You can't sit and whine about it. You can't. He said she just sleeps, and we know he did that before with Lazarus too, and they were all amazed. But should they have been amazed? Well, we know probably we would have been amazed there, but now that we know and he's died and risen and all these things, we should know
we have a new paradigm.
Right, it's not that surprising. He said it, I believe it, it's so. So we're gonna copy how he prays.
Know the truth, the word of God, right. And it will manifest.
Right, not
it has to. God demanded it that it would manifest.
Well, he gave it authority and power to do it. So let's go on to our next thing in Matthew.
Matthew 14, 22-32. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water or on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried and saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased.
Right. So we're seeing the big issue, and it's, I think a lot of people don't know how to attain whatever they're praying for. They
hardly receive it.
Well, I think the bigger problem is they have prayed before, possibly prayed incorrectly, not known how to do it. And then they just think, well, it's a flip of the coin. Today, God might want to do it and he might not. But we don't see in the Bible that that's what Jesus didn't go flip the coin and go, oh, okay, this guy gets to be healed today and that guy doesn't. So
that's why we say God said it. I believe it. That settles it.
Right. And we notice like when he went to the Pool of Siloam, he healed one man, but there were all those people were sitting around the pool waiting, but he realized that man had the faith to be healed.
Right.
And I think that's what you need to do, and how you get the faith is you say, I believe it. I say it. It's so.
And that's why a lot of people say in the scenario with Peter walking on the water, he took his eyes off of Jesus, the Word of God, and started looking at circumstance. And circumstance aren't going to hold you out of the water, only Jesus.
Right. So let's see what Hebrews tells us about this.
Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And in Mark 11:22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God.
Right, so that's what we have to do. We have to have faith in the Word of God. If the God says it, like God says, if you bring your tithes into the storehouse, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out more blessing than you have room to receive. So he's saying, I'm going to do this. So if we bring our tithes in, we can bring them to, mail them in, drop them in the offering, however you do
it. Text them.
You can text them. But what you do is need to pray over them, because the seed is the word. And that's what we water the seed, we water our giving with, is the seed. We plant the seed with our word. It's the sower sows the word. But by giving the tithes, God gave a promise. Bring your tithes into the storehouse now and prove him. So that's the first way you can prove him. If you're not sure if God works, that's one of the first things we did. We went to a church where there was actually a visiting pastor, and he said, if you will tithe for a year, like pray over your offering, say, you know, pray and give it as an offering to God, be a cheerful giver and not talk doubt over what you've given, like the words that come out of your mouth are, God shall supply all my needs. He said, if you're not better off in a year, I'll give you your money back. Well, at the time we started tithing, and we didn't ask for our money back because
we were doing much better.
We were doing much better because
we're going, yeah, their word works.
Yeah, because God's promise is true. Yes and amen. So you go, God, that is a promise. Like people go, where's a promise? Well, God said, bring your tithes in the storehouse and prove him. And it says, give and it shall be given unto you. And not everything, it's not all about money, because you bring it in and he opens the windows of heaven. It may mean you get a better job. It may mean your crop, if you're a farmer, produces
more than your neighbor.
More than your neighbor. It gets right. More rain than your neighbor does. It may be your marriage gets better. It may be you have a better relationship with your family. So we're all working to bring it in and have the blessings of the Lord upon us. So I think we're trying to teach you not to complicate it. Like people with salvation somehow go, yes, if you repent of your sins and you say, yes, Lord, thank you, the Lord of my life, you died on the cross and were risen, I accept you as my Savior, then they're born again and they just know that happens. And it's the same with healing. It's like
the guy on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, you'll see me today.
Right. So it's very quick. So we're going to show you a prayer that might help reduce if you're having unbelief. It might be some things you say to yourself, because remember, it's recorded in your brain and you believe it's true. And so like with Abraham, they called him the father of many nations and he had no children. So
now, how's he going to do that?
God did it. I know a lot of people go, well, that's lying, but it's really doing the quantum. You're causing with your words to change things. Words do change the circumstances.
And that's what Abraham did. He called those things that be not as though they were.
And then they were.
Then they were.
He did it.
Well, they were in the spirit realm, and they manifested in the physical realm.
Right, because God said he's going to be the father of many nations, not just Abraham. We can't just say anything we want.
Right, that's true. It was a promise from God. So you got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and hear the promise from God. And the word of God is the promise from God too. If you read the word, like in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing in the word of God. Then the faith comes and you know the word of God is the hope in your life. And the word of God will manifest.
Right. So when he says, he promised, bring your tithes into the storehouse. You bring it in. And then you say, I know that I'll be able to pay my bills, that the windows of heaven are going to be open, and you can watch things miraculously change. So here's the prayer we have. It's just a prayer. Really, I kind of think I put it's a prayer to stop unbelief, but it's really a prayer to have belief. It would be more what it is. It's the prayer of believing.
It says the prayer of faith in God's word. Heavenly Father, I believe your word above also any other source, above any other source in the world, above what my body tells me, above what the doctors tell me, above what friends and family tell me, above what the internet tells me. I refuse to fear when fear is trying so hard to come upon me. I know and fully accept and receive the love you have for me because you are love. I honor your commandment to believe in the name of Jesus and to love others in the name. And we all say, amen.
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Right. And so what we're trying to have you learn is you, like Jesus said, the little girl sleeps. He doesn't call, he's calling for things that be not as though they were. And people go, well, that's lying. Well, we always love the statement. We even have shirts that say it. We have coffee mugs that say it. Don't call the cat when you want the dog. So you go to the door and the kid, we have kitties and they're sitting there, but we really want the dog to come eat dinner. Well, we don't call here kitsy kitsy or here foo foo or here Santy. Those were cats we had. We called the dogs. Like we, if we want Hollywood.
But we don't see the dog. The dog's not in our vision.
Right. The dog's down the hill snooping around the yard.
Yeah, we call Hollywood, Hollywood, where are you?
Yeah,
come.
Well, dinner time. You better stop calling or she may be coming.
We'll be showing up here in a minute.
I think she went out in the backyard, but if he keeps calling, yeah, but if he was calling me, she's not going to come. Because you don't call, what you're calling is what you're wanting to have come into your life. So he's saying the little girl, he said to the little girl, get up. He didn't whine. He didn't give you all her symptoms.
He didn't ask God to manifest his word. Well, no, he just said the words and it came to fruition.
Well, but he didn't actually take in, like the people outside were whining and wailing and having kind of making fun of him because he's saying she's not dead. But we don't care if they make fun. They can make all the fun they want. You can laugh all the way to the bank after you bring your tithes into the storehouse and suddenly your circumstance changes and you now have it. It doesn't say you'll be a millionaire or anything. It says it will supply your needs. So suddenly things just change. And it just changes and you suddenly have enough to pay your bills. Or like in our case, we had a water heater that lasted 35 years and people go, water heaters don't last that long. Well, yeah, they can.
Ours did.
They can. So it that's the kind of thing where God, like,
it was still working really. Right. When I replaced it because I would have to go out there every so often and light it and I was getting tired of lighting it.
Right. So, but I think the important thing is God does supply your needs. And so you say what is promised in the Bible, because there's lots of promises. People go, they don't know the will of God. Well, they haven't read the Bible, because his will tell you what he wants you to do how he's going to bless you. Like it tells you, bring your tithes and he opens the windows of heaven. It doesn't say if it's his will, he'll open them. It says he will open them. That's a different way. Not is it his will? It is his will to open the windows of heaven.
Also, okay. Also in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, he's more, like I've said before, he is more like the tactical position with God, where the Word of God is like the strategic position with God. So it's a big deal. I mean, the Word of God will, and the Holy Spirit will not go against the Word of God in any way. So, but what I'm saying is, like, if you're saying, oh, well, Lord, should I take this job? Well, you go to the Word and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Might say yes, might say no. So you got to have a relationship with God in an intimate way so that you're able to hear that voice. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And relationship with the Holy Spirit comes by entering into the throne room with him.
Right. So there are specific things where he gives you promises, like really the promise is that, like, the chastisement of his peace is upon him when he was on the cross. Your peace is upon Jesus when he was on the cross. So you know you'll have peace, but that doesn't really tell you which job to have that'll be peaceful. But that's where it's kind of a combo thing. You know he will give you peace, because he said he will, and the Holy Spirit is your director to help you get to that.
And you'll have that intuition of feeling, yeah, I like this, and I don't have any checks against it. It's not like a fleece. It's not a fleece. You're not doing a fleece. That's Old Testament stuff. You don't do fleeces in under the New Covenant. So, but what I'm saying is having a positive attitude about this situation, and God will bring it to you and give you his attitude, his positive or negative response to your request, and he will give you an answer.
Right, because he says you'll know his voice. So we want to leave you with, because our topic was just do it, or not just do it, that's Nike and we're not Nike.
Yeah.
It's do it. And so what are we going to do? Because we've been instructed what to do. So now we know that we're not going to be in unbelief. If the Word of God tells us something, Jesus said it, we believe it, it's so. It's not Randy and I saying this is it. It's Jesus said this. He said it to the believer.
Not the commentary said it. Not the,
Internet. Not the TV.
Not the radio.
TV,
not the anything in the physical.
Right. It was said in the Bible, and it's a recording of what Jesus said for you to be doing.
Okay, in Mark 16, 17 through 18, in the New King James Version. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Okay, well, so that's what Jesus said. He says, if you're a believer.
That's a quotation from Jesus.
That's a quotation from Jesus, not from us, although we're reading it. We're reading Jesus' quotation. So I have questions for you, because I'm going to ask you. You get to be my, he's not even prepared. He's just like you. I'm just going to ask him. So what happens when we read, a lot of people want to say to me, well, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Some people think it was his eyes, which it really was not that. But he asked God three.
He never implied that it was his eyes.
He asked God three times to get rid of it. So now we're going to compare that with this verse. That's what Jesus said. How did Jesus say to get rid of it? Did Jesus say, go ask the Father, you're having a problem? Because we know that the problem came from Satan. Satan sent kind of like an archangel demon. It was a high-ranking.
It wasn't even a demon. He was an angel of Satan.
It was a high-ranking harassment. And so Paul went and asked God to do it. And what was God's answer?
He said, I've already given it to you.
No, that's not his answer. No, well, what was the answer God said?
He said three times God had said, my grace is sufficient.
Well, so...
what is grace?
Well, if we look at it, there's later on, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, I was listening to it today. He basically said that the grace will leave you
right,
whole and not... And this is written 9:8. Also. This is written also by Paul, where Paul eventually figures it out that grace will leave you complete and whole and wanting nothing. So was Paul wanting anything back there when he was talking to God? Was he wanting something?
Well,
what was he wanting?
He's wanting the harassment of the angel to leave.
Right, but was he supposed to be asking God? Or did Jesus give a command, if you're a believer, we believe Paul?
He said to cast out the demons.
And so we have...
you do it. He said Jesus wasn't going to do it. God's not going to do it for you. He's already commanded you to do it.
But he showed you how. Because yeah. We gave that in the beginning.
It says...
Jesus spoke to the demons.
How do you cast a demon out?
Say... yeah. Be gone in the name of Jesus.
Be gone in the name of Jesus.
And so he did that. Okay, so
I have... done deal.
So...
in no time here. Jesus, many times, see, cast a demon out and the kid would do extra things and all that.
Okay.
But eventually it came to fruition because he didn't get stressed over what was happening in between what he said.
Okay, so we'll go on. So let's say Paul's affliction... we believe that Paul's afflictions were the things that were happening to him. Because if we watch Jesus, it's true... Jesus was not liked by people. They wanted to stone him. They were going to stone him, but he just walked out through them and they did nothing.
Right. They were going to stone him and put him down.
Right. But,
and
but Paul,
he walked through them. It wasn't his time.
But Paul...
didn't, he knew it.
Paul didn't seem to have that happen with him until the last 2 years of his life when in Acts it says it. But let's say, okay, so that's more harassments like... because we see... Paul was in a shipwreck, but Jesus went into the storm and just calmed the sea. So everything Paul did he loved God, God loved him, God was having him grow, but he didn't do everything. Jesus was perfect. It's
well,
the difference.
Paul was still in the learning curve,
which
just
like
the
are.
Disciples.
The disciples. Our favorite disciples.
We're all in the learning curve here.
Right. So we can learn from this. God said it. I believe it. It's so. So we're going back to our verse in Mark. God said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if it turned out, like a lot of people also want to say, that Paul had something wrong with his eyes, well, what should he have done? He should have had the elders lay hands on him. And what did Jesus...
right.
Well, quote, you can read it. You have it there. What does it say happens when you lay hands on the sick?
They will recover.
So is Jesus a liar?
Well, of course not.
Right. Of course not. Jesus didn't lie. So if you go and you go, God said it, I believe it, it's so, you go lay hands on him and say, be well in the name of Jesus. Be gone, whatever
said,
it is. It's
and,
so.
And he said... Paul said that God told him three times, my grace. In other words, he's going, come on, Paul. God's saying, come on, Paul. My grace, my benefits are already there. You have them in hand. You have the responsibility. You have the authority to get rid of this problems. All these different types of problems and all that. You just got to perceive it and know it and know the answer. And you, either you... you cast the demon out, or you know, as
they
said here,
if you
or if the snake bites you, you just cast it. It's not going to hurt you. You just know that.
Right.
The truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Right. So somehow he did know about the snake, and it he just cast
it
off, and it worked. He obviously went around laying hands on the sick, and they recovered.
They recovered.
And but it doesn't. It's always it. Sometimes is easier to pray for others than for oneself, because it's your body that's yelling, ah, ah, ah. It's easier if his body's yelling it for me to go, be well in the name of Jesus. But it really works the same regardless.
Right. And just because something else you read about or you heard about or somebody in your family or whatever, and they were good Christians, But that doesn't make them that they
have... Well, Paul was a good Christian.
Yeah, Paul was a good Christian. Point. All the disciples were good Christians. Even James. It really upsets me that James got beheaded. And he was one of the insider. He was the one that went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. James and John and Peter. And James got his head chopped off right away.
Right, so he's like all of us. We're going through our journey, but the important part of our journey is to know, God said it, I believe it, it's so. And if you say, well, you're not perfect. Well, I'm not God, but I do know God said it, I believe it, it's so. I can get myself there. That's why I know if you invite Jesus into your heart and you know he was raised from the dead and you confess your sins and ask him to forgive you, you're born again. The same thing is true with your peace or your health.
Right.
Right. Or your finances or your job. God has the answer for all of it.
And Jesus said, they said, well, why didn't this happen for us? It's because of your unbelief. How do you get faith or destroy unbelief? Is by knowing the Word of God and having confidence.
I also liked, long ago I heard someone, because you... Really, the Holy Spirit, as you get in a closer relationship, sometimes will tell you, don't pray for that person. You need to teach that person because they're not believing. They're in unbelief. There's kind of the receiver and the giver. Like you lay hands on them and the anointing of God. I'm not ever the healer. God's the healer. It will happen. But they have to also be willing to receive it and not doubt. So it's kind of a two-party thing to get it done. Baby Christians are probably easier because
well, that's exactly with Jesus in Nazareth. He went back to Nazareth and he said that only a few got healed because of their unbelief. Jesus, the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, was there laying hands on everybody, you know, not only just laying, probably commanding. And if they did, they said, well, he's just Joseph's son, you know. Well, who is he? He isn't God, you know. And they rejected it, except for a few, it said.
But I was going back to this man, and probably the key point is Jesus, going back to who told us to go do this? Jesus. Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You're not supposed to go around and look for people who laid hands on them and didn't recover. Let's go around and rejoice in the people we laid hands on. Because I've laid hands on people and prayed, and they've been wanting to have a baby for years and hadn't been able to. And within a year, they had a baby.
They had a baby.
But I told them one thing to do is go tithe. So if you tithe, it says you won't cast your young before its time. And they had a miscarriage, and then they... didn't have it, or they had a baby. So there are things you can teach them as you go along, but you pray there. I prayed people be healed just sitting in the service without anyone praying for them, and people started to just be healed sitting in the
and
service.
And we didn't even know who it was.
But later
we were
told,
praying for the audience, let's say it that way.
Well, and I just got a praise report, which I was just reading. It was an email, and it was about somebody who had been not well for like 10 years, and had not been able to go out and shop with their husband or do anything, and they're now well. They actually took a medical route, which is fine to take that if that's where you're at. We're not saying don't do that, but the doctor really said this will never happen, but they went and did this new thing and they tried it, and they're off pain medication for the first time in 10 years. And it's like they've got their life back. And that's what we want for all of you. Like, take whatever steps you need to take to get your life back. God loves you.
Yeah.
He wants you to believe. He wants you to go to your church, have people lay hands on you, the elders of your church. But you need to make sure that they believe. Because I'm in a prayer group, and there was a lady asking, well, how many people have to pray for anybody? And I said, well, really, only one person, because like, the prophet prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. It was just him and talking to God. So you can just do it by yourself. But there's nothing wrong with multiple people praying.
Yeah, and Jesus had with the little girl, that was her 12-year-old or whatever
right.
She was. And it said the disciples were there and the mother and the father were there. They're all living in a positive mode there. They're all going, yeah, we know Jesus is going to make this happen.
Right, but you don't want to go in
with
doubt.
If you had all these people that were outside and he threw them all out, basically, and said, don't come back, Yeah, but they were the ones basically we froze. Not able to make us happen.
Uh-oh, we're frozen.
We got frozen. Uh-oh. Oh, well, hopefully we're still videoing. We're still there, and we love you.
Hello. Well, wait a second. I'm not sure why we're frozen. Let's see. We'll wait. What should come back up? I think we will. Hello. Well, there. I got us back up. I'm sorry we froze. Hopefully you waited until this.
The devil didn't want me to say that, maybe.
It was probably good. I go, okay, I got to solve it. And I clicked up to our camera and it unfroze. So it's all good.
Right.
So we'll say truth wins.
This way. Yeah.
I got it this time. I'm good. Woo! Truth wins. And we like and subscribe. We'll say happy Mother's Day, because I believe when this populates, and we do every Wednesday, we populate. Yeah. It will be right before Mother's Day. Don't forget to love on your mother. Give her a card, a gift. Give her a phone call. Do a prayer, whatever.
Yeah, and our motto is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set you free.
Make you free,
Set you free.
And the other thing is, do it.
Do it.
The truth tells you, do it. God said it. I believe it. It's so. So we know what God said. God said to the believer, read again what God said to the believer. I think it's so important that you do all this. Let's see.
Right here?
No, it's Mark. It's the right there. And these signs will follow those who believe.
In my name, they will. Do it.
They will cast out demons.
They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Right.
Jesus is not a liar.
Right. So that's, you're doing.
If you believe it. And the person you're laying hands on believes it, it's done deal.
Right, so he said, do it. So it doesn't even really matter. Just go out and start doing it. Do all of it.
It may not happen right when you see it, right there when you said it.
But it did happen right there.
It happened in the spirit realm. Let's say it that way.
It does, because really, like being born again, you actually aren't in heaven yet, but you know it happened. You know that you know. You believe, you have no doubt, you know that you know.
Right.
And that's how it is. So with that,
your confidence is that you are what the word says.
So with that, we're saying happy Mother's Day, and we'll see you the following Wednesday.